Chapter 2. Hiding. At the house, the security officers interrogated me for several hours. They didn't believe my story, and they injured my left eye and my fingers very badly while they were trying to make me confess. I told them several times that my only purpose had been to test the possibility of shooting at their leader, but of course, that did not convince them. Some of them even believed that the British government had sent me to carry out this attack. Finally, however, they began to understand that it was possible that a rich Englishman who loved hunting and had nothing better to do might really try to hunt a political leader as a kind of game. At the end of the interrogation, the chief security officer turned to me and said, "Even if your explanation is true, it makes no difference. You can't be allowed to live." It wasn't hard for them to organise my murder. I had already told them that I had not slept indoors for 5 days and that nobody knew where I was. They put all my documents and possessions back into my pockets, drove me 80 kilometres to the north, and left me hanging by my hands from the edge of a cliff. They wanted to make it appear as though I had fallen to my death by accident. In this way, it would look as if I had hurt my fingers while I was trying to climb back to the top of the cliff. I hung on for as long as I could. Now, when I think of those moments, I can't understand why I wasn't happy to die. I had no hope of living, and I didn't want to suffer for a long time. But I didn't want to die. One always holds on to life until the very last moment. Finally, I fell from the cliff into a marsh, which was small but quite deep. My first thought was that I had really died. The fall had seemed surprisingly long, so it seemed impossible that I could still be alive. And there had been a terrifying moment of pain. My back and my legs hurt terribly, but my life had been saved because I had fallen onto the soft, wet ground. I pulled myself out of the marsh and tried to stand on my feet. But of course I couldn't. My legs and back wouldn't support me. My whole body was covered in mud and blood, and I was very thirsty. I vaguely remembered from my map that there was a small river nearby, and I crawled to it on my arms and stomach. The pain was terrible. When I arrived at the river, I crawled to the edge and drank. I went into a small pool of water, then turned round to make my tracks disappear and crawled back in the direction I had come from. "I'm sure that eventually they'll come and look for me," I thought. "They'll wait until I'm dead, then find my body and send it home to England. Everyone will think that I had an accident while hunting. If I go back on my tracks, it will be more difficult for the searchers to find me. They'll be able to follow my tracks to the river, but they'll have to guess where I went after that." After about 100 metres, I came to a tree that I was able to climb, although it was agony for me to do so. As I couldn't move my legs, I had to use all the strength of my arms to pull myself up. I realised that I had to climb high enough so that no one walking past would see me or my muddy footprints on the branches. Although I was weak from pain and loss of blood, I finally managed to pull myself up into the tree. I found a place among the branches of the tree from which I would not fall. Then I lost consciousness. When I regained consciousness a few hours later, I felt very peaceful. I wasn't in pain, I wasn't hungry or thirsty, and I was safe. Nothing at the present moment could hurt me, and I had no thought for the future. I stayed in the tree all morning, and in the early afternoon I heard the search party. I could see them from my tree, one of the security officers and 3 policemen. They had found my tracks by the river and were searching the water, but they found nothing and eventually left. In the evening I heard dogs. I was really frightened and started to tremble, and once again I felt pain. Fortunately, the dogs didn't find me. Their master was too impatient to get home. I was safe. When it was dark, I climbed down from my tree. I could stand, and with the help of two sticks, I could walk slowly. I began to make plans. What I need urgently are some clean clothes, I thought. I've got my passport, my maps, and my money, and I speak the language well enough. Now I must find a way of escaping and getting back to England.